welcome to the Public Health Podcast, Healthy Schmelty, that's usually helping you stay healthy by sorting through the healthcare news and filtering out everything that's schmelty. But you know what? I figured there's so much going on in the news lately. There's so much, for example, something that sounds like this.
Oh, greetings! It is I, the Count, and it's time to answer that fascinating question. What is the Sesame Street number of the day? Let's count the bats and find out. That's one. One bat. Two. Two bats. Three. Three fabulous flyers.
Yeah, like that. And also, there's a lot of this going on too, it seems like.
I've been quarantined because I ain't anyway. Stay your distance.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on too. Thanks, Yo Gotti. And thank you, the Count from Sesame Street, for summarizing the news. So with all that going on, you know, it felt like a good time to take a break. I think we all could use a break. If you're not from the United States, just know that the United States really could use a break. And who am I, you're probably asking, who's giving you said break? Well, thank you for asking. I'm a career healthcare information specialist, and I'm also a master's of public health. I'm Rishi B. Thank you very much for joining me on this brief reprieve from the news. In this episode, I'm going to share a distraction provided by my good friend and movie buff at the Chris Parks. Chris has been joining the past couple episodes. He's been sharing some scary movie recommendations in relation to the Halloween season, of course. But, you know, we're still close to Halloween. And, you know, for some people, maybe for a lot of people, even if there's like some relief, it just feels like there's this kind of like pall in the air that, you know, it just feels scary. So maybe a scary movie could take you away from all that, you know? You challenge the scary with some cartoonish scariness that's on your screen. And so the Chris Parks, he's going to share some recommendations, some great recommendations to distract yourself from what's going on. Some great movie recommendations. Also going to top things off with how recent events remind me of the joys of wearing flannel. But as mentioned, at the Chris Parks, my good friend and movie buff is here to share some scary movie recommendations in a segment that we call the Halloween Hot Takes. So here we go. All right, back at it again. It's Halloween Hot Takes with Chris.
One, two, three, a third Halloween Hot Take.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, we're back at it again. It's Halloween Hot Takes. So, Chris, you're going to recommend a couple movies for us. Take
sure
it away.
All right. As we have in the previous two segments, I'm going to give you a good one, classic horror movie, something to really sink your teeth into. And then I'm going to give you something that is not so good, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to get down and dirty in the thick of it, and that's what we're going to go through. So
wrestle in the mud.
Yep, sure. Exactly. Just grease up like a piggy and wallow in your filth. That's what that's what the holidays are all about. So I'm going to start with the good one, and this one should not be a shocker to anybody. I actually do assume most people have seen this, but it is so good and such a classic, I still want to give it a little bit of lip service and credit for what it is, and that is 1980's The Shining by Stanley Kubrick, based off of the Stephen King book. Is it safe to assume you have seen this probably multiple times, Rishi?
Yes, I have seen it. Three times.
All right, that is good to hear. This is probably one of the most rewatchable horror movies in my experience.
For sure.
Definitely carried on the weight of the performances by Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall with nice cameo appearance. It's not quite a cameo. He's got a lot of skin in the game. Scatman Crothers, so he is in there as well. But this is probably the definitive psychological thriller, I would have to say. There's not much going on in terms of forward-facing gore or violence or anything like that, but it's very much the descent into madness of multiple people and family dynamics with a little bit of twinge of psychological drama as well. Supernatural drama. So I do have to say this is one of my favorite seasonal rewatches. I watched it a couple weeks ago. I'll probably watch it again when it gets a little colder outside, considering we've been having a beautiful warm summer. It's not summer, excuse me, beautiful warm fall that feels a lot like summer. Being that this is a Stanley Kubrick movie, his reputation precedes him, and I think this movie is one of those reasons. If you've ever looked into this movie or read anything about him as a filmmaker or some of the actor experiences, you know, he definitely puts his actors through the ringer trying to get, I guess, the rawest performance out of them. So he intentionally would drive his cast nuts with retakes and kind of manipulation to basically get them to the end of their rope. I've seen something once where Jack Nicholson was only given cheese sandwiches during periods of time during filming because he absolutely hated them.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And Shelley, I didn't know about that. Yeah, and I guess Shelley Duvall had her own experiences where it was just take after take, just repeating stuff and going through things a million times and just think about the frustration of, can we just be done with this? And your boss says, do it again. And I mean, in a sense it worked. That doesn't make it all right, but you can definitely tell in the performance, these people are at the edge of their rope. I mean, you see people this threadbare in movies very rarely, and the performances, I think, really reflect it. And one thing a friend told me years ago, which completely changed my viewing of this movie, is that he instructed Jack Nicholson to do a lot of the scenes with different tones. So happy Jack, angry Jack, irritated Jack, edgy Jack. And I guess he would pick and choose which ones he would use throughout the movie to kind of perpetuate this disjointed dissonance of where's he going? What's wrong with him? Because from scene to scene, you start noticing, oh, he's up, he's down, he's doing this, he's doing that. And it just, it all works so well. And a less dark fun fact about this movie is apparently Jack Nicholson was far too adept at breaking down that door with the axe. It took multiple doors because it apparently he was just blowing through that thing like a hot knife through butter. Apparently he was a volunteer firefighter. Again, don't quote me on that, but in his earlier years. So he definitely had experience with the tool, and they had to build much more solid doors because it doesn't really work when Crazy Jack takes one swipe at the thing and the whole thing comes off its hinge because there's Johnny and the door's gone. But definitely one of the most iconic scenes in cinema. So it sounds like they got to what they needed to get to there. And the other thing I wanted to mention is this. The setting of this movie is based off of a real place per Stephen King, and that's the Stanley Hotel in Estes Park, Colorado. I've actually been there, and it's beautiful. It's way up on the mountain. It's very cool, very interesting. And also, the bar scene in Dumb and Dumber, where Lloyd says and learns they've landed on the moon by seeing the newspaper, they filmed that in their bar there, and that newspaper is still on the wall in there. So that was fun to see with my own eyes, but it was definitely a, you can just kind of feel the dread that would creep in if you were the only three people up on this high mountain in this massive building. So it's very nuanced. There's a lot of dead end roads. There's a lot of gray areas. There's a lot left up for interpretation. So it's kind of having a movie that isn't open and shut case definitely helps with rewatchability. And I think this is maybe one of the all time best examples of that.
For sure. All right. Let me see if I can pull this off. All right, Chris, move on to the next movie.
You just spooked the heck out of me. You did. I'm shivering right now. All right. So we're going from The Shining to something that is not nearly as good. And that is 1986's Slaughter High. So this is a very fun, campy slasher. Mid-80s. Incredibly corny. Lots of stereotypes. The synopsis of this movie is basically... there's a nerd in high school. Everybody bullies the nerd because, hey, nerds suck. You got to be mean to a nerd, especially if you're a big, strong sport boy. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. If you didn't answer, I was going to say, are you a nerd? But no, you're a big, strong sport boy. So basically, they pull a prank on the nerd, and this prank ends up setting him on fire and disfiguring him. It's very grim and dark. Like, I'm laughing, what? But it's, I mean, it's funny because it's a movie. It's not funny in real life. This would be absolutely terrible if you blew up a chemistry experiment to prank the nerd. But at that point, he goes to some hospital. I don't know. I guess they broke his brain as well as his face. And throughout the rest of this movie, they are going to be attacked by him as he gets his revenge, as he has planned out a class reunion to bring them back to high school to get back at them. And one of the funniest parts of this movie to me is that they come back to their old high school. It's kind of locked down. It's been abandoned. This whole thing for a class reunion. They go inside. It's quite obviously nobody's there. And they get to one room where there's class reunion stuff set up and parties and drinks. And ever so briefly do they question the fact they're the only six or seven people at this class reunion. And then they just move on from this point. I mean, like, in a vacuum, if you went to a class reunion and there were five people there, you're going to think something is up. But nope, not these people, because they're smart. And so they start drinking and partying, and then they start dying. And I got to say, some of the kills in this are some of the better ones I've ever seen. They're incredibly corny. Most of them are preventable. I think one guy gets poisoned with a dosed PBR, and it makes his guts explode. Basically, the Alka-Seltzer and a seagull trick. Somebody else.
That's a PBR.
And then... I'm giving away spoilers, but honestly, I don't even feel bad at this point because this movie's so crappy. You're only watching it just to see how they do these things. So, yeah. The girlfriend of the guy who explodes gets blood spattered on her. She's so disgusted, she finds a bathtub in this school and decides to take a bath. Well, he taps into the water line and fills that bath with acid and burns her down to a skeleton because she just doesn't get out of the bathtub as it's filling with acid. Yeah, it's So that's kind of what you're getting into. So there's some really obnoxious people. You don't really feel bad for anybody who dies, which is if I'm going for one of these movies where I just want that empty calorie movie snack, I don't want to be emotionally tied to anybody. I want to be like, yeah, that guy's dead as heck. And just,
get him.
Yeah. It's like, that's what you deserve for being mean to that little nerd. So the nerd gets him. It's good. There's a little bit of a twist at the ending, so I won't give that away. But I will definitely say this is not a quality movie, but by all means, this is a fun movie.
Okay. So there you have it, folks. If you want your, you know, you want dessert, you want the donut movie, you eat your Slaughter High and just empty calories. It goes straight to your thighs. But if you want that nice vegetable movie, that's something that will give you some nutrition after consuming it, you can watch The Shining. But you know, Chris, you know, we called this segment Halloween Hot Takes. Do you have... you know what that sound means, folks? I think Chris has a Halloween hot take. Take it away, Chris.
I do. And my third and final hot take of the Halloween season revolves around your costumes. Halloween comes once a year, folks, and it's supposed to be a time for friends, family, fun. And I know things are a little different now, so this may not quite apply for the COVID-19 version of Halloween we're going to be attempting to celebrate. But when it comes to costumes, can people just try a little bit? like, a little bit of cleverness goes a long way.
Wait, you don't like my sexy nurse outfit?
No, I don't. I mean, you're attractive, sure, but that's not the spirit of Halloween. Horny nurses are not what this is about. What this season is about is mothers making and fathers making tic-tac-toe boards out of poster board, attaching them with straps and hanging them over their seven-year-old child's body, which then serves as a playable game with Velcro X's and O's. That's wonderful. What I don't want to see is the same Dumb and Dumber blue and orange tuxedo suits that some corn cob has worn for the last 10 years because he thinks it's funny to wear a hat top and just wear normal clothes. I want to see somebody with a homemade costume, believe it or not. I once made a costume, and I am going to toot my own horn because I felt like this was a great idea. I had a white sweater. I got out the marker. I got out the yardstick, and I drew loose leaf paper lines on it. And you know what I went for as Halloween that year, Rishi? I went as a grocery list, and it was fun. And you know what? I liked it, and other people liked it. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I bet you probably would have liked it. But yeah, just I put so much respect on the people who go out and just try and enjoy the spirit of the season. And you know what? Just try a little bit. Just try for everybody. We're all in this together, guys. Let's be spooky. So no more Dumb and Dumber tuxedos. I draw the line there. If you're wearing that, you need to figure it out, bud.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I was going to wear this sexy vaccine outfit, but I guess I'll put that away.
No, that's topical. That's interesting. I'd like to see your take on a sexy vaccine.
Oh, shoot. Now I got to make a sexy vaccine outfit. Okay. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. This was the final Halloween hot take with Chris. Thank you very much, Chris.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me go on about the good, the bad, and the ugly of Halloween movies and all that surrounds them.
More healthy schmelty in just a moment. So there you have it, folks. You know, make sure you note that for next year's Halloween season, you got to try harder with your costumes, okay? We want to see some attempts being made out there, okay? That's a responsibility that we all want you to plan for the next Halloween season. So that was my good friend at the Chris Parks on Twitter, who's a good friend and also a movie buff. And he, of course, shared the movie The Shining, which is a great movie if you haven't watched it. Totally holds up. It's a great psychological thriller, as Chris mentioned. And he also shared a couple movies in the past couple episodes, in case you missed those. So all the good horror movies that he shared were The Shining and then The Witch, I believe from the year 2015 or 2014. And then also the movie Day of the Dead, George Romero's Day of the Dead. So those are three solid scary movies he shared. He also recommended three kind of campy scary movies, one of which we just heard was Slaughter High. And then he also shared Sleepaway Camp 2 and then also Wishmaster. And then, as we just heard, he had some great hot takes, which was, of course, trying harder when you're making your Halloween costume. He also shared the recommendation that we all need to stop bobbing for apples, which is great. If anyone's still out there bobbing for apples, open up a board game or something. There's so many other cleaner things that you could be doing than bobbing for apples. And then he also reprimanded us, us being the general American audience at large, for not embracing candy corn, which I will refuse to embrace. I'm putting my stake out here. You know, this is my political stance. I am not embracing candy corn. But, you know, I appreciate Chris sharing that message. And if you want to see some more information about where you can stream the movies that Chris recommended, you can find that at the show notes for this episode and all episodes at rishibee.com, R-I-S-H-I-B-E-E.com, where you can also find some links on how you can support the podcast. You know, this is a growing podcast, so I appreciate your support. And you can do that by subscribing to this podcast via the podcatcher of your choice, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or you could also leave a review, which is always very helpful and hopefully a positive review. But let's move on to the next. So I'm going to end things off now with just a little discussion about flannel. You know, I've been thinking about flannel, which was, the clothing of choice in the 90s grunge era. There was a lot of rockers wearing flannel. And you're probably asking, Rishi, why in the shinola are you talking about flannel? Well, recently there's been some events going on. I don't know if you heard about this in America going on this election. And, you know, I was kind of thinking about how elections in particular have a way of bringing disparate states together. You know, like, outside of every 4 years, who cares about Michigan, right? But because it potentially could swing the election spotlight and the news spotlight kind of shines a light on Michigan, I feel like I saw the Michigan Secretary of State. Michigan, by the way, is my home state, which is why I'm bringing it up. But I saw the Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson. You know, I would flip on, like, CNN or flip on other channels. My personal preference is like NPR or POTUS on Sirius XM, but I heard Jocelyn Benson on those, and it's like, wow, Michigan representing. And then also Governor Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan is also popping up here and there. And, you know, it kind of made me think about like how, especially in this era of social media and the internet, it could kind of make the country kind of feel smaller. All of a sudden you're hearing things from different states that maybe normally you wouldn't pay all that much attention to. And this year, of course, one of those states for me that I don't often pay attention to was Pennsylvania. And I think Pennsylvania, of all the states, got the brightest of the national spotlight. Shine on it. And of course, the reason for that was because there was a whole hullabaloo about the counting of ballots. As we just heard the count from Sesame Street reference, of course, the counting of ballots in Pennsylvania, especially in Philadelphia. And, you know, talking about that stuff, you may typically hear the news, a Secretary of State discussing that or a governor discussing that, and which we did. We heard multiple, you know, elected officials from Pennsylvania talking about that. But there was so much attention brought on Pennsylvania that it propelled Pennsylvania's lieutenant governor to the spotlight. And let's take a listen in on Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania, John Fetterman.
The ballots that are being counted right now are the ones that were received on or before Election Day by 8 o'clock. So those aren't subject to any lawsuits. Mm-hmm. You know, the president can sue a ham sandwich. He can send 1,000 lawyers to Pennsylvania. But it's not going to change the basic fact of the matter is that every one of these ballots that's in play right now that's going to be counted today throughout the rest of the day has been lawfully received and going to be counted.
So that guy that we just heard talking about ham sandwiches is Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman. You should look this guy up. It looks like he could single-handedly take on all of the WWE wrestlers all at once. This guy is built. And when you look him up and you see some information about him, you'll notice that he comes from a seemingly Trump-friendly area of Pennsylvania, but you see that he is a Democrat. He's a Democrat lieutenant governor. He's also been endorsed by Bernie Sanders. But when you look him up even further, if you do wish to go that far, you'll see that he kind of falls different directions depending on the issues. This is something I've been thinking a lot about, considering recent news, that, you know, the country seems to be in a complicated place going forward. You know, I think there's kind of a need for, if not unity, then at the least understanding from disparate sides. And I think John Fetterman kind of represents that. He's kind of complicated. You can't sum him up nice and neatly. This guy has angles to him. And, you know, his last name, I couldn't help noticing this. And actually, I can't take credit for this. This is a friend of mine, Tom, who pointed this out, that John Fetterman looks like he grew up listening to 90s grunge music. And hence me talking about flannel throughout this episode. But, you know, you take John Fetterman's last name, and you could connect that to the Pearl Jam song, Can't Find a Better Man. You could change that to Can't Find a Fetterman, which is just great. If any of you know my friend Tom, you should slap him on the back. You shouldn't do that. You know, you should take COVID precautions first into account. But whatever you can, slap my friend Tom on the back for Can't Find a Fetterman. This brings me to the song, a Pearl Jam song that I enjoy greatly called I'm Still Alive. I've been thinking a lot about this recently in connection to recent events because, you know, every day that you're alive is a new day. And there's something poetic about that. Each day is a chance, is a new chance for you to embrace an idea that you might not have given much attention to before. Each day that you're alive is a new chance to hear a new idea, understand a new concept, reach out to a person that you may not have normally reached out to. And, you know, being alive is all you really need in order to help yourself. And when you help yourself, you're probably going to help the people around you. And I've just been thinking a lot about this. So I'm going to top things off with this episode with a rendition of I'm Still Alive by Pearl Jam. It's probably going to sound a lot better than how Pearl Jam does it. I'm just putting that out there myself in case Eddie Vedder is listening to this. But here we go.
There's something wrong, she's saying. Of course there is. You're still alive, she said. Do I deserve to be? Is that the question? And if so, who answers? Who answers? I'm still alive. Hey, yeah, yeah. Whoa, I'm still alive. Hey, yeah, yeah. Whoa, I'm still alive.
All right. Hope you feel like you're still alive. And with that, I guess I'm going to say, ha ha. See you later. See you later. See you later.